In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Mercy comes from the heart. Mercy comes from the heart and spills over into actions. So if the heart is not merciful, then neither can the actions be merciful. Mercy flows from the heart, it comes from the heart, and so the Lord looks at your heart. You can fool others, but you cannot fool him. He does not say, do works of mercy, but he says, be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. He wants your works to flow from the innermost reaches of your heart. Every good work receives its strength and effect from the good and noble, faith-filled heart. So God is far more concerned about your heart than about your actions. As he says, I desire mercy, not sacrifices. So he changed your heart, mushing, molding, and crafting it to be like his most gracious heart. He bathed it in baptismal waters to restore it back to his image and his likeness. He forgave you all your sins. It's profound mercy stemming from the reaches of his heart to equip you, to change you, to move you, and to control your every action. To be merciful, then, is to have a loving, sympathetic, and compassionate heart toward others, and to regard their sufferings as your very own. So if you want to be merciful, then you must first bring their suffering into yourself and regard it as part of you and not just simply theirs. Their sorrow must grieve you. Their pain must cut you. Their sorrow must grieve you. His adversity must become yours. Their grief must burden you. It's not easy or fun. We'd rather throw a few dollars at the problem and be on our way. But that is not mercy. Mercy comes from your heart as you seek to identify with that individual in his most dire state. So perhaps the first step in showing mercy is to listen to their plight. Stop trying to fix everything right away and be one with them. Identify with them. Learn. Don't offer any solutions, but cry with those who cry. Hurt with those who hurt. Close your mouths and open your ears. Learn. And do not try to fix anything until you know why your daughter is sassy or why your spouse is angry. Give them your heart. And yes, they may stomp all over it, but that is what it means to be merciful, to open yourself up, to identify with them, to be one with them in their sorrow. For God did not throw a quick solution to your problem. But he became one with you, identified with you. Your suffering was brought into his body. Your grief burdened him. Your sorrow he carried. Your pain cut him. Your adversity became his as he hung on a tree, bearing your sin, succumbing to your curse, enduring your wrath, and dying your death. And in that picture, you find the most profound idea of mercy. He hanged himself until every last demand was met and gave his life in exchange for yours. Mercy always costs the one who shows it. You see how much our Lord gave in showing you mercy. It cost him his very life, and no servant is above his master, so it will also cost you. If you are to be merciful, it will cost you and burden you. Others may take advantage of you, but so what? Did they not take advantage of our Lord as well? He fed them, taught them, loved them, and yet still they abandoned them in his hour of need. Still he healed them and died for them, the righteous and the wicked, the good and the bad, the noble and the ungodly, the pious and the prostitute, not only those who loved him and listened, but also those who rejected him back 2,000 years ago and those who continue to reject him today. He died for them, became one with them, the good and the terrorists, taking their sins into himself. For mercy always costs the one who shows it. What greater cost can there be than to give the very life of God? But that is what mercy is. It's never given to those who deserve it. It's always given to those who do not deserve it. Precisely, that's what mercy is, shown to those who do not deserve it. And we're not just talking about the poor and needy among us. But mercy must be shown to the unloving husband or the brash wife, the disobedient child or the harsh parent, the liberal neighbor or the conservative friend. Love them all and do good to those who make your life difficult. Mercy does not depend on how others treat you. Mercy comes from your heart. It does not change with others' actions, but it continues to be merciful even as God is merciful. Whether they treat you with respect or disrespect, talk about you kindly or not is irrelevant. You continue to be merciful. For that is what Christ has made you. God has placed others near you as a test to see if love and mercy and compassion will flow from your heart or not. It doesn't make him any greater or lesser. He doesn't need your works of love. But to love those around you is to love God. To ignore them is also to ignore God then. We easily overlook what we are to be doing for others, and we instead are all too often focused on how they are treating me. And so inadvertently we set ourselves up as judge over them. Are they behaving properly towards me or not? And we forget all about what we are supposed to be doing for those around us. So a Christian husband knows how his Christian wife is supposed to live according to the Word of God. In fact, he probably knows more of those passages than the ones that pertain to him. A Christian parent knows how his child is supposed to live according to the Word of God again. When they fail, and it happens quite often, we correct, we rebuke, we instruct them. We want improvement. And we get so caught up in how they are living and what they are to do that we ourselves fall. We forget what our obligation is to them and instead focus and highlight all the things that they are doing wrong against us or someone else. If we are quick to judge others, or if we judge them harshly, then we are asking God to judge us quickly and harshly as well, and that never ends well for us. If we treat others simply based on how they deal with us, then we are asking God to do the same, and certainly that does not end well for us. So first, consider how you are to deal with them, how you are to treat them, and how you have sinned against them time and time again. For those sins too are many, too numerous for us to list. You have hurt them in ways that you do not know. And then listen to them. And perhaps you will be more willing to show them mercy and love. And then you can remove the speck from their eye. You see, God doesn't want us to leave that speck there. We're not to ignore sin. So yes, we are to instruct and encourage, especially if God has placed us in a position of authority. God does not tolerate sin, and so neither do we. The world doesn't get that. It confuses tolerance and love. It has no idea what they are. God never tolerates sin, but he rebukes it and corrects it. So too we call sin, sin. But we also know how much it hurts to pull those specks out of our eye. We know how much it hurts to pull beams and planks out of our bodies. And so as we correct and rebuke them, we do it in love and mercy. We do it carefully, holding them, hugging them. And we are so quick to forgive. So quick. Forgive and forget. No strings attached. Show them how God wants them to live, yes. But give them your heart. Give them your heart by freely and fully forgiving, even as Joseph forgave his brothers and then promised to take care of them as well. For mercy and love always costs the one who shows it. There's no need for them to make anything up. No need for others to make anything up to us. Forgive and forget. And yes, they will probably stomp on your heart again. They will probably commit the same sin against you yet again. But forgive them anyways. For is this not how we treat our Lord and Savior? He gives us his heart, and yet time and time again we break not just the commandments once, but again and again. You beg him to help you, and he forgives. He is quick to forgive. He does not lecture you as he stands in front of you, but the first words that you hear are, "I forgive you." He doesn't tell you what you are supposed to do and how you are supposed to treat him, but he tells you of what he has done for you. And then he feeds you yet again. He opens his heart to pour out mercy on you, knowing full well that it will get stomped on by our ignorant failures and shortcomings. Be merciful like that. Forgiving someone because they said sorry is not mercy. Forgive because you love them. It comes from your heart, not from their actions. Listening to those who speak kindly about you is not mercy. But listen to those who yell at you, demean you, disrespect you, or even insult you. For how can you understand their point of view and their plight if you do not listen? Be ready and willing to help everyone who is in need by any means possible, and if there are no other means, then simply by prayer and heartfelt sympathy. God sees us miserable creatures from his heaven, trying to be merciful, and he has pity on us. Forgiveness flows from the depths of his heart, which does not change. You do not deserve it, and neither do I. You know how much it hurts as he accuses you of sins that you yourselves perhaps had no recollection of. And yet he does it out of love and forgiveness, out of love and mercy. He is quick to forgive, knowing full well that forgiveness changes who you are, mushing, molding, and crafting your heart to be like his heart. A poor mirror, yes. Incomplete, yes. But nevertheless, you are an image of your heavenly Father as you show mercy. And so we find this to be true. Our lives are filled with sinners in need of our mercy. And also this congregation is filled with sinners clinging to God's mercy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.